Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
The following interview was originally aired as part of Serotalk Weekly, Episode 81. To see the links mentioned in this interview, or to hear any of our other shows, visit our website at www.serotalk.com.
I'm pleased to be visiting for the first time, actually, with Willie Hoos of Vanda Pharmaceutical. And Willie, I know you've been on Serotalk many times, but welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Now, in just kind of reviewing, I see that you've been on a tech chat with us. You were a part of an interview at, I believe, the ACB convention. Let's just kind of review for anyone who may be coming in late, what you guys are doing as far as helping the blind community with some sleep disorder problems.
Sure. So there's a sleep problem that I know at this point a lot of people have probably heard about the research that's going on. It's a sleep problem related to total blindness, where the body clock gets out of alignment with the day and causes real trouble sleeping at night and a lot of trouble being tired and napping during the day. And I'm in community outreach, clinical affairs for Vanda Pharmaceuticals, who's developing and doing a research study right now on a new medication that is being evaluated on whether it helps to improve this sleep problem.
Okay, and I believe the name of that medication is Tasmeltia, is that correct?
Yeah, Tasmeltian is typically the way, yes.
Okay, very good. Tasmeltian. Excellent. So in visiting with blind people over the last several months, especially at the convention, so what kind of response have you been getting to what you guys are doing?
I think, you know, Vanda was a title sponsor at the ACB convention out in Reno and just had great reception there from people coming who've heard about it, who, you know, I've met so many people who are suffering from this and they're just happy to finally have it, the word getting more broadly spread about the problem, as well as that, you know, there is a treatment needed. There is no approved treatment for this right now. And so people are excited about the fact that hopefully treatments are up and coming in the next couple of years, assuming success of our program.
Absolutely. Now, there's several things you guys have been doing in the way of gathering research data. I believe some focus groups are one thing. Is that correct?
We have. We you know, anytime anybody's developing a product, you do focus groups and try and understand who has the problem and what connects with them about why they're suffering and what they're looking to improve. So we've definitely been doing that. But the major thing we're doing is a large phase 3 clinical trial where we're enrolling just over about 100 people. Half of them will get the placebo and half will get the actual drug. And that's to kind of definitively prove whether or not this product and this medication works. So that's the big program. And, you know, 100 may not sound like a lot, but, you know, this is the estimates are this affects between 50 and 80% of those who are totally blind. But the totally blind population is still a limited population. So we have to talk with a lot of people and get a lot of people interested to find that 100 to be in the study.
So you've had some articles written. I believe there was an article for the Matilda Ziegler magazine. How has that gone?
Yeah, and you know, I mentioned how in Reno we meet a lot of people who talk about suffering with this problem. The problem's called non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder. It basically just means that your body clock is not running at the same 24-hour schedule that we all run on. But as we talk with people, you know, it takes a few minutes to even longer of explaining the problem and the background and the science to really get somebody to realize, you know what, that maybe is what that the symptoms right off the bat met my interest, but really to understand this is real and I can't just fix it by trying to keep a regular schedule or wishing that I didn't have it. You know, those are some of the things that people say. So what we did was we said, you know what, there's really not been a really easy to read, interesting to read article written about this that profiles some of the patient and tells the story so that someone who's blind or someone who knows someone who's blind has this article to read. And it only, you know, it's something that you can read in 10, 15 minutes or less and really say, okay, I understand this problem. I should share this story with my doctor, with my friend, with my family member. And so we found Lynn Lamberg, who is a science writer and journalist, and she's written on a lot of sleep topics as one of her specialties. She's written a book on sleep I always forget the exact title, but she's written The Body Clock Guide to Better Health. So she certainly knows about the body clock, which is also called the circadian rhythm. And we worked with her to get this article, to interview some of the people that we had met and some of the people that have been in some of the research over the last 15 years to really understand this problem. And she really did, I think, a great job of profiling the sleep disorder and telling the story of what it's like, and also the research that's out there about therapy, ours included.
Do you find that there is perhaps a bit of confusion among people about, you know, when wintertime comes, you think about, oh, I need more sunlight to have energy, that whole approach to light and maybe light therapy, as opposed to the disorder that many blind people have, where the light is actually not, you know, getting to the eye as it should, and or the brain to synchronize the body clock.
Yeah, I think there's two things that I can add to that. So one, I definitely hear some confusion about that, or confusion is not quite the right word, but just some people trying to understand what's possible. And it all kind of centers back to, how does the body clock work and how powerful is it and how is it reset? And that's one of the places where the science is really strong. So I get a lot of questions about, you know, well, can't you just keep a regular sleep schedule and social schedule, and won't that overpower the body clock? And the answer is, or won't that keep the body clock aligned? And the answer is that just isn't the case, that it's really light that does that, that synchronizing signal to the body clock. So somebody might say, you know, I can tell when it's light or dark outside, just because I know from the time of day or something, I know what day and night are. You can't tell me that I don't know day from night. And so this disorder is not saying that you don't know day from night. What it's saying is that the body clock is running on its own time. And sometimes it's lined up with the day and it's telling you to sleep at night. But other times it flip-flops, and that runs on a regular schedule. So it might move a half hour every day. So every few weeks it becomes misaligned with the day and night schedule, and it's telling your body you should be awake in the middle of the night and you should be sleeping during the day. So that's one of the biggest things that I hear is, can't you do something else to keep the body clock working? And for most people, it's really light is the only thing.
I found the part of the article that talked about how the body clock drifts very interesting, because that really does explain why sometimes people seem to have normal sleep patterns and then they go back through this cycle of irregular sleep patterns. So I actually found that to be a really well-described part of the article.
Well, you know, I'm glad to hear that, you know, you enjoyed reading it and that you know, kind of that piece of it was something that got delivered through the article, because I think that's a really important one. You know, I could add kind of a 2-minute story on that.
Absolutely.
That kind of tells how you want me to do that?
Please.
Yeah. So, you know, there's and I may have used this when we were on before, but if you think of how a watch works, and this is just kind of an example of how the body clock is powerful and also kind of runs on its own. So the way a watch works is, you know, it runs on as close to 24 hours as it can, and you can use the dials to adjust that. So let's take an extremely inaccurate watch that runs, say, a half hour off every day. So that would mean when you'd look at the watch in the morning at, say, 7:30, the watch would say 8 o'clock, or the watch would say 7:30, but the actual time would be 8 o'clock, because it's running a half hour slow. It's taking 24 and a half hours to go all the way around to the next 8 o'clock time period. So the watch says 7:30, the real time is 8 o'clock. What do? You take the dial and you wind it forward to 8 o'clock and go about your day. And the next day you'd have to wind it again, and throughout the day it would get off by a little bit. Well, if you then woke up one day and that watch dial wasn't working, you would look at the watch, it'd say 7:30, but you couldn't adjust it up to 8 o'clock. So you'd have to go through the day with the watch getting more and more off by that half hour, and then the next morning the watch would say 7 o'clock, and you'd have no way to shift it, and the next day it would say 6:30, and then 6, and 5:30, and pretty soon you wouldn't be able to use the watch for much, because you'd be trying to subtract 4.5 hours to the real time and the next day it'd be 5 hours. So that's where the watch is moving every day by a half hour. And pretty soon it's just completely misaligned with what day you're really on if you can't adjust it. Well, our body clocks basically work that same way. And the body clock, average in the population, sighted or blind, is about 24 hours and 15 minutes, just a little less than that. So that means everybody's body tries to shift on average about 15 minutes a day. But it's the light signal we get every morning and every evening that counteracts that and works just like the dial on that watch. And so that's where that connection with blindness is without that light signal, it's like we're that watch with a dial where you can't adjust the time, and every day it changes. And it's not like you're off by 15 minutes or 30 minutes. It's every day, it's cumulative, and it's off by another half hour and another half hour.
And in the article, Lynn does a great job of pointing out that it's not just the inconvenience of, oh gosh, I can't sleep at night. It really does affect every part of a person's life, because during the day, when you should be working or you should be concentrating, you're just unable to.
I think that's exactly right. And anyone who's ever gone through a really bad case of jet lag really understands that, because even if you've gotten a fair amount of sleep, when you hit that point in the day where your body's saying, be wide awake, you're wide awake. And when you hit that point of the day, even if you've had a good night's sleep, where your body's saying, it's 3 a.m, you should be asleep, it's hard to do much of anything. And for those, even if you've never experienced jet lag, I mean, a lot of people, when they wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, if you ever have to take an early flight or you're just up for some purpose, whether it's intentional or you can't sleep, for most people, that 3 o'clock in the morning, it's not a time to go do calisthenics or go do any heavy thinking, that really where you need to be on your best, because it's just a really slow time in your brain. And in fact, actually, that's one thing that's with some of the people suffering with this, because their body clock's moving in the middle of the night. Sometimes their body's saying it's the middle of the afternoon and they're actually wide awake and alert, and they feel like it's the middle of the day and they feel good. It's just not the schedule they want to live on.
So in the meantime, knowing that people are suffering from this disorder, what are some things we can do to actually help improve our sleep? I'm thinking of things. One of the things in Tech Chat 105, and people can go back and listen to that, was the discussion about caffeine. And I did not realize that it's recommended that you don't drink caffeine 6 hours before you go to sleep. I found that fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where I need to get the exact facts on it, but I think caffeine metabolism, the half-life of caffeine is in the 6 to 8 hour time range. So that means that 6 to 8 hours after you have your dose of caffeine, half of it has been metabolized and has gone out of the body. But that still means, you know, especially with some of the high caffeine coffees like Starbucks and such, you know, those can stay in your body all day at some level. So, you know, you start drinking those in the afternoon and evening, they can start to affect your sleep for sure.
That hits a little close to home, but you make a good point, actually. So where can our listeners, first of all, where can they find the Matilda Ziegler article? What issue is it in?
The article's been published as a 5-part series. And so on they started and they, you know, so I think if you get on there and you search Lynn Lamberg, who's the author, or there's a subject heading that's specific on the magazine, which is N24HSWD. All of those are ways to find it. But it's basically coming out each Monday if you're a subscriber to the email version of the magazine. And I think the third series came out this week, third part of the series, and the fifth part will come out right at the end of October. So it's running all month.
Very good. And how can people get more information about what Vanda Pharmaceutical is doing?
So there's a couple places you can go for information about Vanda's work. One is we've set up, again, people have been asking for more information. So we've set up an informational website, which is 24sleepwake.com. So that's the number 2, number 4, sleepwake.com. And that's a site that has a lot of information about research, about our research, has some links to these articles. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter with those same 24 Sleep Wake sites. That's kind of the basics about the sleep disorder, you know, to learn more of the science and such that maybe go beyond the article. The other place that people can go for information is we're doing a short survey where for people who may be interested in being in the study, and you can call and participate in that survey as well as learn more about being in the clinical trial by calling 888-389-7033, and that's our registry number, which is 888 989-7033.
Well, Vanda Pharmaceutical is doing a great service for the blind community, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk again. It's great to be on, and thank all the listeners of the podcast and others. And, you know, we really hope that everyone enjoys this article and kind of passes around the community and helps spread the word that this is something that's real. This is something that's where we need to develop a solution. And hopefully for those interested, they'll consider participating in our trials to develop a solution as well.
If you found the information in this interview useful, let us know by sending an email to resources@serotalk.com. Send us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. Or send us an iReport on iBlink Radio.